May 6th, 2021, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Amud Bet, six lines from the bottom, three words before the end of the line. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, Eidut Hamakheshet Zo Etzo Bebedikot, Kesherah Bedine Mamonot. As we mentioned yesterday, there are two ways of checking the witnesses as they enter into court. The Eidim are Nehkar and they're Nivdak. Hakirot refers to the seven basic questions about place, about time that they'll be asked. Specifically, hakirot are in order to potentially catch them on what's called hazama. In other words, if another set of witnesses comes and says, how's it possible you were in that place on that date? Imanu hiyitem, that's what hakirot is specifically for. So it's those basic questions that can displace the person. We can catch them in such a fashion if they're lying. Bidikot are the nuanced, detailed, interesting questions which seem somewhat insignificant other than we want to make sure you're actually telling the truth. So it has nothing to do with the case, potentially. I ask you, what color was his shirt? I ask you, what was the weather outside? These questions might very well have no bearing on what actually took place, but I'm going to ask you them anyway. They're not absolutely necessary. Bidikot need to be asked, but what questions are asked are not actually necessary. What's that?
Hakirot have to match.
Hakirot certainly need a match in Dine Nefashot. Bidikot, generally speaking, in Dine Nefashot as well, need to match. Bidikot, in the context of Dine Mamonot, says Rav Yehuda, when it's a monetary dispute, they could be nikhash, they don't need to match up. So one more time, just specifically, without the backdrop now, there's two individuals who walk into court and they're both witnesses. They're testifying about a case of a loan, of a transaction, of a payback, or whatever the circumstance is. One is asked questions about place and time, and the other one place and time, and they contradict one another, throw them out. That's hakirot. That's Rav Yehuda is admitting to that. If they're asked nuanced, detailed questions, bidikot, says Rav Yehuda, we don't invalidate them for that in a financial case. That's his statement. Eidut hamakheshet zo etzo bebidikot, keshera bedine mamonot. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, mistabera milte de Rav Yehuda, ve'had omer ba'arnake shehora, ve'had omer ba'arnake levana. Says Rav, I'm going to specify when that statement of Rav Yehuda is true. Mistabera milta, sivara, of course, means logic. It makes sense that Rav Yehuda's statement that you can contradict one another in bidikot, that's true in specific types of bidikot. Think for a moment about different types of bidikot. I said details that don't necessarily have to do with time and place. There are many details. So yes, we can talk about what's the question, what's the color of the arnak. Arnak is the purse, is the wallet. That's insignificant. I don't care if it was white or black, says Rava. That's what Rav Yehuda was talking about. Alternatively, aval, echad omer mana shahor, echad omer mana lavan, en mitztarefin. He says, however, if it's on what we call gufa edut, in other words, it's on the meat of the matter, it's true they're both testifying about the same amount of money. That certainly needs to check out. But the question is, what was the quality of that money, which once was important? In other words, if the quality of the money would diminish, if your coins, if whatever you were using, your currency went down in status, the currency itself was either lost or went down in status. It wouldn't be worth as much. And today you'll just transfer, you'll just change it, it's easier. But again, if the question was, tell me about those coins, were they clean coins or were they dirty coins? Tell me about those coins, were they black or were they white? If that's the question, says Rava, now you're touching on perhaps not directly the meat of the matter, how much money. Okay, that certainly is a critical issue. But it's a little bit detailed beyond that critical absolute matter. Still important. So again, he distinguishes between two types of bidikot. The further removed one, what was the color of the purse? All right, they don't agree with one another on that. We say he wasn't focused on that sort of matter. You don't know what the money looked like and you saw the transfer from one hand to the other? Something's up over here. That's the statement of Rava. Says the Gemara, ve'arnake shehora b'dene nefashot lo? Question mark. In other words, the Gemara had stated Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Yehuda, as we prefaced, was stating his opinion in the context specifically of financial matters. Says Rav Yehuda, when it's a financial matter and there's a hakhasha, there's a disagreement, there's some sort of contradiction about the details, then it's kosher in financial contexts. He seems to be telling us that in life and death circumstances, they can't contradict one another. Yes, step one. Step two, what was Rav Yehuda talking about? He was talking about, says Rava, those far-off circumstances. What was the color of the purse? In the context of Dine Mamonot, it's okay if they contradict. It sounds like in the context of life and death, that's a problem. Not really so. Do you mean to tell me, and the Gemara is going to contradict it right now, do you mean to tell me if each of them say, we saw this guy kill that other person, we saw this, but whatever the circumstances, and they can't identify the color of his shirt, in such a circumstance, we'll throw the case out?
Now it's spider.
What's that?
In a capital case, it wouldn't be that strong.
It's even less significant, yeah. Potentially. I mean, again, I thought you were going to go in the opposite direction. In other words... I understand. So in other words, that would certainly be the vantage point for why we'll save the case. You might alternatively argue, you know, in light of current, I guess, last 20-year events, in other words, if the glove doesn't fit, but in the case of the glove not fitting with O.J. Simpson, that's the glove which was used for the crime. In other words, if you're dealing with the color of the shirt, what's the difference? And it's not that the shirt doesn't fit the fellow, it's that you don't remember what color shirt he was wearing. Says the Gemara, V'ha'amar Rav Hasda, don't we have a statement from Rav Hasda, in what circumstances do the bidikot matter, quote-unquote, in Dinei Nefashot? In what circumstances, if they contradict one another, do we say it doesn't matter? Echad omer b'sayif harago, v'echad omer b'ariran harago, en ze nachon. If you turn to one witness and say, okay, so what was the weapon that was used? He says it was a small knife. And turn to the other one and says it was some sort of sword. That's a contradiction. That's on the meat of the matter. They both saying he stabbed him. That we get. They're both saying in our circumstance it was money. That I understand. And the same amount of money. The question is, what color was the money? That's significant. That's already on the meat of the matter. You're missing a critical aspect. What type of weapon? That we're going to throw out. However, Echad omer kelav shehorim. One says he was wearing black clothing. Echad omer kelav levanim. One says he was wearing white clothing. Harei ze nachon. In such a circumstance, we uphold this testimony. We don't look at it as a problematic hakhasha, contradictory statements of the witnesses. So Rav Yehuda, we now turn to him. We say, Rav Yehuda, you were making clear to us that you distinguish between Dinei Mamonot, Dinei Nefashot. Dinei Mamonot, those nuanced, very nuanced questions of Bidikot are not a problem. You seem to be telling us almost explicitly that in Dinei Nefashot, they would be a problem. Rav Hasda says differently. What's the answer to this question, much like the first question yesterday? Rav Yehuda says, what, you're bothering me by Rav Hasda? We're both rabbis, we're somewhat contemporaries, gavra agavra karamit. You're asking a question from one rabbi to the next. Again, in our collective unfortunate existence, we don't always know who lived when. So we assume if you ask the question from one rabbi and the other one, that's what the Gemara does all the time. That's a real question. It's specifically a question if they lived in different eras. If one's from the time of the Tanaim and the other one's from the time of the Emoraim, we say that the way the system was built, for one reason or another, Emoraim need to conform with Mishnayot. Gemara needs to conform with Mishnah, with Beraita. You can't contradict that unless you have some reason to say, someone up there agrees with me. You can't just go against it. That's the way our system was built. But if they're contemporaries could disagree with one another. If they're from the same era, they could disagree. Says the Gemara, Gavra, Agavra, Karamit, Rameh in Aramaic means to place on top. In the context of these sorts of disputes, it means to contradict. You place something on top of the other and you compare the two. Gavra, Agavra, a person on a person, Karamit, you're contradicting one person from the other person. All right, he disagrees with me. That's all. Yes, Joe.
Who's the halakha
like on this matter? Well, let's take a look at the letters here in the Gemara. Look at the very top, Amar of Yehuda, the first words we started with, six lines up. Eidut ha-makheshet zo et zo bebedikot keshera. Right, so that's the initial statement. Yeah. All right, so that much we know that he's distinguishing between bedikot and dinei nefashot. We know the halakha is going to be like Rav Yehuda. Then there's not a problem, there's a dispute as to how to understand Rav Yehuda. Why is there a dispute? Rava is the one who fine-tuned this. He says, even in Dine Mamonot, right, sometimes there will be a problem. That was his statement. Yes, he said, sometimes in Dine Mamonot, there will be a problem if it's a question of the color of the coin. That's what he said for Rav Yehuda. Yeah. Is Rava's statement, did he know that's what Rav Yehuda said? Or was he saying, listen, I heard the rabbi say this. I think, that's what his words sound like, mistabera milta. We're going to have in just the next words in the Gemara, nehardee. We're going to have another opinion who says that when it comes to dine mamonot, it's all kosher. In other words, as long as the absolute matter is agreed upon, how much money it was, I don't care what color the money was, we're still accepting. What's the halacha on that point? There's a dispute. The Mahlok Rishonim, Tosafot, and the Chachmei Sefarad disagree about that. But in terms of following Rav Yehuda, we follow Rav Yehuda. We distinguish between Dinei Nefashot and Dinei Mamonot. How loose are we in the context of Dinei Mamonot? Mahlokin in the Gemara. What's the halacha on that? Mahlokin as well.
But Rav Chisda is a little bit more lenient than Rav Yehuda. As far as Dinei Nefashot.
Absolutely.
Halacha like Rav Yehuda.
No, like Rav Yehuda. That's what I'm talking about. Like Rav Yehuda.
Lost money.
Hard to define lenient and stringent, though, because we're saving a life, so we're being, you know, whatever. Anyway.
If you lost money, you want the most minute details in order to get it back you'd need. How it was wrapped, how many bills, the smallest stuff.
Certainly. So that's what your will is going to be. In the court proceedings, I mean, that's why you're going to be very excited as the judges are asking the witnesses those sorts of questions. You'd like that all to be checked out. In the scheme of things, though, again, keep in mind, bidikot and hakirot is not like testimony in general. We're well aware of why we're doing this. We're asking these questions to verify that they're telling the truth. So the question is, would a person overlook the minute details in a monetary circumstance? Would he in a life and death circumstance? That's really what's underlying all of this.
This examination is before the trial, before they're on?
It's as they testify. As they testify, we brought them in, we asked him questions, we brought him in.
Legit witnesses.
Yes, no, that's separate. We need to make sure they're legitimate, and then once they start testifying, we ask them those sorts of questions. Yeah.
I thought the guy was important. Oh, I thought the guy with the white shirt killed him. No, I thought the guy with the black shirt killed him.
It's not. No, it's not.
It's important. The guy is important.
Is it important? It's important what color? In a murder, it might not, but I saw his face. I wasn't paying attention to his shirt. I was so enwrapped in the situation. Yeah, but I know who it was. Says the Gemara, Nehardee, the rabbis from the academy in Nehardee, in Bavel Amre, Afilu Echadomer, and here you see the letter next to this as well, Joe. You see, we're posek lahalacha on this end, whatever you're going to call this, lenient or stringent, right? In other words, it depends who you ask, if it's the Love or the Malve. Afilu Echadomer Mana Shachor, Hadomer Mana Lavan, Mistarefim. Statement of Nehardee, which is the ultimate statement, is in the context, at the very least, of dine mamonot, of financial matters, the only details that are significant in the respect that we're going to now invalidate this testimony are the absolute details of money amount. That's it. Nothing more is significant. Of course, place and time. That's so we make sure it's an Idu Chata Yachol Hazima. We need to make sure that they check out in terms of their place and time, when this took place. But in terms of any of the other details, down to how was the money wrapped, what color was the money, all that sort of stuff,
so
that's insignificant.
Irrelevant.
Why ask those questions? They're irrelevant. You might panic under pressure as I ask you those questions. Your face might turn colors. You might start sweating. You might reveal something through those questions. It's important to ask those questions nonetheless as a tact of intimidation.
Answers.
Correct.
It's for something else.
Correct. But, which, again, makes sense. We want to intimidate you. That's a big part of this. We want to make sure you're actually worth your salt in terms of telling the truth. It says the Gemara. Okay, Andrew says the Gemara, Keman, whose opinion would Nehardae, that last opinion, the most letting opinion, the most, we'll call it lenient opinion in terms of accepting, a loose opinion, in terms of accepting and combining testimony, Keman Kerebi Yoshua ben Korha. Should we suggest, it's the last time, I promise you, we're going to talk about Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha. Should we suggest that Nehardae conform with the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha? If you recall, Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha, very briefly, without any of the intricate details, Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha was willing to admit one witness and another witness who are testifying, technically speaking, about two separate matters, right? One says, I saw a loan for $100,000 on Monday, or I heard an admission on Monday, we had a dispute about that. And the other one says, on Tuesday, says Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha, when it comes down to it, they testify on the same guy and the same amount of money. Is Nehardae conforming with that opinion, or are they even going further? Says the Gemara, Kiman, whose opinion would Nehardae conform with? Who do they link up with? Could it be Yoshua ben Korha? Says the Gemara, I don't even think think so. I know you all bent out of shape over Bi Yehoshua ben Korha, but listen to Bi Yehoshua ben Korha for a second. Again, when it comes down to it, are these two witnesses in the Bi Yehoshua ben Korha case contradicting one another? One says, I saw something on Monday. The other one says, I saw something on Tuesday. They're not disagreeing about anything. When it comes down to it, talking about the same person, talking about two separate things, two separate aspects. Over here, in our case, I testify that he loaned him black money, and Eddie testifies that he loaned him white money. We're contradicting one another. Would Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korha stretch it that far? Again, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korha says, you talked about X, you talked about Y, there's a common denominator, we'll bring you together. But we didn't disagree with one another. I didn't say there was no loan on Monday. You didn't say there was no loan on Tuesday. Over here, I say it was black money. You say it was white money. I say it was wrapped. You say it wasn't wrapped. That's a contradiction. Addiction. It's true we admit to the money amount, but what Rabbi Yehoshua says, Gemara Imar Deshamat Le, we can state easily that we heard, we know Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha Hecha when in a circumstance Delamik Hashu Ahadade, where they don't contradict one another. Hecha de Makhashe Ahadade. Alternatively, in contrast, in a circumstance where they're contradicting, one says black, one says white, Mi Amar. Would Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, even our most lenient, loose, allowing opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, he couldn't necessarily agree to this situation. It's true, it's, quote, in insignificant detail. But Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha might tell you, but there's a contradiction. You can't have a contradiction. We can't link you up. Ela, says the Gemara, rather, Nahardae, and in turn, potentially, Rav Yehuda, if you have that approach in the Gemara, De'amar ki haitana, he would follow this opinion. Which opinion? Detanya, as the Beraita tells us, Amar bi Shimon ben Elazar. Shimon ben Elazar is going to be commenting on what he knew as a mahlok bet shamayim bet hilel and explaining to us what they actually agreed about and what they disagreed about. How so? Lo nechleku bet shamayim bet hilel. Bet shamayim bet hilel did not disagree about the following case. In other words, they agreed on the following case. Al shetei ki te'idin. Two sets of witnesses, she'ahat omeret matayim, ve'ahat omeret mana. Stop for a second. What's the case? There's two witnesses who say, we saw a loan between A and B for $100,000. Another set of witnesses, two men who say, we saw a loan for $200,000. What are you going to do in such a circumstance?
A and B, the same recipient.
Two separate loans.
They're testifying about the same loan, let's say. Now, they seem to be contradicting one another. Will we throw them out completely? What's the halakha? Sheyesh bichlal matayim mana. Included in 200 is 100. Which means to say that although the 200 will turn to them and say, what's that?
Take the lesser amount.
We'll take the lesser amount. Why are we doing so? We're accepting the lower group. We're saying, listen, you guys never contradicted the 200 because part of the 200, you guys agreed. The 200, you're contradicting the 100. You guys, please leave the room. You're good people, but we can't accept you as telling the truth. These guys, nobody disagreed with you, and we obligate Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in $100,000. What about the following circumstance? One witness says $100,000. The other witness says about the same deal. $200,000. Now, there's no longer two and two. We can't say, you guys stand alone and you guys stand alone. Now, it's a contradiction between one and two. And well, what are we supposed to do? Al-manech-leku. What do Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree about? Al-kat. Ahat. On one set of witnesses. She-Beit Shammai omrim nechleket edutan. Says Beit Shammai. We can't say, again, the whole logic for Beit Shammai initially went like this. Two groups of witnesses. One group will move you aside. We'll accept the other group. Over here says Beit Shammai. Okay, so I got you saying 200 and you saying 100. I'll move aside the 200. What am I left with? One guy. But one witness on 100. You can't accept him. Nechleket edutan. We split the testimony. Can't accept anything. Beit Hillel omrim. Yesh bichlal matay mana. Beit Hillel says, yeah, you guys contradict each other. I don't care. We don't care. He's saying 100, he's saying 200. How are you going to combine these two guys? How is it possible to bring them together? It's inconceivable, Beit Hillel. Before we explain Beit Hillel, we now understand that's our Nahar Da'eh. This is the most wild opinion we've encountered thus far. Nahar Da'eh and Beit Hillel are telling us the following fact. We bring them together in the common denominator. Right? You're testifying that it was $100,000. He's testifying about $100,000. He says it was black. You say it was white. The money itself. We say the color of the money. Move that aside. Stenographer, erase that from the records. What did each of you say? $100,000? Khalas. We don't care about the other stuff, and we'll combine the two of you. So too, Bet Hillel and Bet Hillel. Says Bet Hillel. So you say to me it was 200? Let's just add that up. 1, 2, 3, I count up to $100,000. Was that $100,000? Yeah, of course. I'm telling you, that's it, $100,000. What's it? You said there was $100,000? Okay, 1 second. And how much did you say? $100,000. That's it, khalas. No, but he's yelling, no, but it was even more. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hear that. In other words, Bet Hillel is willing to listen to that part of the testimony within the 200 of the 100,000. How do you make sense of that?
What if you had a third set that said 200? 200, 100.
So then we're going to just accept the 200. In other words, it's a third witness. Then we're going to, it's two witnesses, and we'll throw up a third set in our first case, in the Mahlok Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. So you have three sets.
You have two sets of witnesses for that?
No, what's that?
How would we take 200 versus the 100?
No, because it's four versus two, it won't make a difference. And once you have two witnesses, that's a solid amount. You can have two versus 100. It's still two versus two in our eyes. Mm-hmm. Right? And the issue over here is you're dealing one versus one. If you told me you got two, okay, then we're going to go with the two. How could Bet Hillel make this claim, though? When it comes to, they're contradicting one another. He says 200, says 100. It's a game. We close our ears. The answer has to be, if I'm not mistaken, Yad Ramah suggests this, is that ultimately speaking, Bet Hillel will even tell you, you know, you weren't fully particular about the money amount. You knew it was a large amount. You knew it was over $100,000. You thought it was $200,000. We're willing to, since the other guy says $100,000, say that you made that mistake. But it's not a small mistake. It doesn't matter. It's a mistake. And we'll consider that part of your testimony a valid, honest mistake and accept the part of the testimony which matches up with the other one. But that's the halakha over here, says the Gemara Bet Hillel. Okay, says the Gemara, I have further. Can we stretch this even further? Again, we're squeezing this out in terms of how loose we're going to be of acceptance of witnesses who don't match up. What about the following? Echad omer havit shel yain, ve'echad omer havit shel shemen. One witness, no two versus two. One and one, right? So we're talking about really, we need to bring these guys together. One guy says, I saw him lend the other person a barrel of wine. And the other one says, I saw him lend a barrel of oil. Completely different barrel contents. Both a barrel. One has a lower value. The wine has a lower value than the oil. What do we do in such a circumstance? Can we obligate anything? A guy walks into court and says, yeah, he owes me a barrel of my stuff. I says, okay, bring in your witnesses. One witness says, yeah, it was a barrel of wine. The other one says, barrel of oil. Now, let's put numbers to this. The barrel of oil is $200,000. The barrel of the wine is $100,000. $200 and $100, whatever. Can he walk out with $100? It's no longer numbers. It's about the content of the barrel. They didn't even talk about numbers. So you can't even say, well, the number is identical.
The values don't come into play, really.
Right, they haven't come into play. Should we reformulate their words and combine them? Hava uvda, says the Gemara, indeed, that this would be the next step. You know, you thought you saw it all with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korha, Bet Hillel, and Nahardai brought it a step further. What about this far? They're saying different things, telling different stories. Can we bring them back? Hava uvda, indeed, this is what took place. And this came in front of this case, Rabbi Ameh. Hiver Rabbi Ameh le shalume le havita de hamra. Rabbi Ameh indeed made him pay this individual, the person under dispute, the nitba, the value of a barrel of wine. Why so? Migo, it means from within. Havita de mashha. Mashha in Aramaic means oil. In other words, he looked at the values and he said, Yesh bichlal matayim mana, those words we saw earlier. When it comes down to it, this witness, instead of, I didn't hear anything about oil, I heard 200. And I didn't hear anything about wine, I heard 100. We divorce the actual details of the case from the underlying value over here. That's the statement. So that's the Gemara, really? You're really going to go that far? I mean, that's loose. This is a rough time in court. That means that I have witnesses who really know. What's the logic that underlies this? Again, it's somewhat of a simple logic. What do we say? We say these witnesses were not focused on what they saw as the ancillary details of what was actually being transferred. Who cared? They were focused on the monetary content. And as a result, we'll combine them because when it comes down to it, that's what was taking place. This was about money. So as the Gemara, Keman, Kirbi Shimon, Ben El-Azar, would this conform with, again, I know this is what we've done thus far, right? What we did was we quoted Nahar Da'eh, whom we said conforms with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which equals Bet Hillel, right? That was that argument. This next segment is a whole other level. Does it conform with our earlier level? So in terms of, you know, least novelty, less chidush, we have Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. Never thought we'd say those words, right? Then above that, in terms of chidush, you have Bet Hillel. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha says identical statement from two separate days. They don't contradict one another. They talk about two, we can combine them. We thought that was crazy a day ago, right? Then we brought on top of that Bet Hillel from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Nahar Da'e. What's that about? Different amounts of money. Same deal. Willing to combine it. Yesh bichlal matay mana. Third stage over here. Third stage is Rabbi Ami. Different amounts of money. Different content. Rabbi Amir, combine them. Find the lowest common denominator. Says Gemara, would that conform with Bishimon ben Elazar? Emar de Amar Bishimon ben Elazar hechad yesh bichlal matay mana ki hay gavna mi amar? Bishimon ben Elazar / Bet Hillel, they would tell you when you're dealing with money amounts, part of 200 is 100. I made a mistake in terms of the value, but we could stop it. We could listen to the 100,000, which is part of 200. You can't say that wine is part of oil. You talked about oil, you talked about wine. It's not part of one another. Rabbi Amir, where are you coming from? This is wild. So this is the Gemara, you're right. Okay, that far we never went. Rabbi Amir never even went that far. La siricha lidame. Rather, says the Gemara, the circumstance had nothing to do with the actual content. It was a question in court about value. So one witness comes into court and he says he loaned him the value, dame, the value of an oil barrel. And the other one says he loaned him the value of a wine barrel. They never talked about the actual content. They were just talking about the value. If they actually talked about the content, if the matter of dispute was about content, we would not be accepting them. And in turn, it directly conforms with what we said earlier, Bishimon ben Elazar, Bet Hillel, we won't go this far off the grid. All right, the Gemara now brings us just a little bit more and then concludes on a sweet and important note.
But doesn't the Academy of Nahar De'eh, they say it doesn't matter if the money was black money or white money. What's the difference anyway?
Yes.
Wine and
because when I came into court and you came into court, me and you being the two witnesses, we said $100,000, you said $100,000, both of us. Exactly. When we were checked, we then said black money, you said white money. Over here, when they came into court, they said barrel of wine and barrel of oil. That is the content of their testimony. And it was, what underlies it is value, but the content of their testimony that's directly contradicts.
White, black, white.
That's right. We call it guf ha'idut, the meat of the matter. So that's Gemara. What about ehad omer b'dayota ha'ilyona ve'ehad omer b'dayota ha'tachtona? A dayota, if I'm not mistaken, is like a balcony. So we're talking about the following. There's witnesses from the street looking up at a transaction, at a loan. I don't know why they're on the street, not in the house. COVID, that's why. They're watched from afar. They can't be there, whatever. I don't know. So one of them says, listen, it was a $100,000 transaction. I saw them then when I was pushed and you asked me where they were. I said, it was in this address on the lower balcony. And the other one says, no, it was on the Dayota Ilyona. It was on the upper balcony. Is it a contradiction to the extent that we'll throw them out?
Isn't that Hakira? Isn't it location?
Says Joey Levy, says, this does not sound like location. So here's the question on location. To what extent are the details? The answer is no, obviously, right? But why not? Isn't this about location? The answer is that location means significant location, quote unquote. In other words, I can displace you. You said you were in Florida, but you were really in New York. You couldn't have been there. You're lying. I made a mistake. Which one of the balconies it was? I'm not displacing you. That's not going to be called hazama to this extent. So as a result, says the Gemara, what's the halacha? Amar bi hanina ma'ase ba lifnei rabbi v'sirefe edutan. Right? Rabbi was willing to combine them, which seems to be the simple interpretation, the very beginning of the sugya of Rav Yehuda. That's what Rav Yehuda said. Huk hashu ba bedikot, bedine mamonot. What's the halacha? Enedutan, mukheshet, mitstarfim edutan. Okay, lastly, the Mishnah finished, and we'll conclude with this. Mishnah said, if you recall, when the judge comes out to tell the verdict, he should not say, listen, I thought one way, but I was overruled by the other two. He shouldn't reveal who said what. On such a circumstance, the Mishnah said, you'll be violating lo telech rachil ba'amecha. You'll be an improper peddler in terms of a person who's rachil, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, is megale sod, you're exposing secrets. You're bringing forth unfortunate situations by revealing information that need not be revealed and should not be revealed. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Beraita elaborates on this point. Minayin l'chsheyeseh lo yomar hareni mezakeh v'haverai mechayevin, aval ma'eeseh shehaverai. Rabu alai. Those are the identical words to our Mishnah, right? You should not come out and say, listen, I thought you were in the green. My friends disagreed with me. What am I gonna do? I have to go with them. How do you know you should not do so? Tamud omar lo telech rachil be'amecha ve'omer holech rachil migale sod. Pasuk in the Torah, Pasuk in Mishle tell us, don't be a vocacious person, I think is the word. Don't talk too much. I'm sorry if that was. Don't talk too much. Just keep your mouth scot. You know, the chrast. There is no reason for you to be talking like this and exposing things that need not be exposed. Hahu talmida says the Gemara, a story related to this. Now, why is this story going to be related? I think it's for the following reason. In the actual content of what this judge would be revealing, he's not telling a lie. He's also not speaking objectively evilly. I disagreed with them. I'm just telling you the facts. I mean, you could say, I just wanted to be transparent, and it's still wrong. Here's the story. Hahu talmida de nafik ale kala. The rumor got out. Literally, nafik means to get out, to go out, and kala means a voice. So the word out on this student in the Midrash was de gale milta. He revealed, gale galui means revealed milta, a matter. De itmar be midrasha batar esrin vetartin shenin. 22 years after there was some sort of secretive matter that took place in the Beit Midrash, this student, the rumor was, revealed that secret. Now, what's the significance of it being 22 years later? I think it's the same point. 22 years later, it's out of sight, out of mind. Is there actually going to be, objectively speaking, something rotten and evil that happens as a result of him revealing this? Can't say so. As a matter of fact, it'll probably be okay. He's telling the truth. But he shouldn't have been revealing whatever secret it was. Apke Rav Amemi Beit Midrash. Rav Asheh throws him out of the Beit Midrash. Amar, and he says about him publicly, then this guy, Galer Razia, he's a revealer of secrets. Some secrets, many secrets, if it's a secret, appropriately so, should be kept a secret. Don't be the person who reveals it. Lo telech rachil ba'amecha is a real matter. It doesn't mean all matters should be secretive, but when there is a secret and it's kept under the wraps for a reason, going and revealing it is not only something that's inappropriate, it's wrong. And as a result, he's thrown out of the Midrash, which of course makes you wonder and discuss and debate when and how should a student be thrown out of the academy. What is the transgression that merits that? Clearly, this was, in the eyes of this rabbi, something that was on that level. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. Amen.